like to turn your attention to Psalms 92. Putting this together yesterday, I feel like this is going to help us a lot in understanding what goes on in our life and some of the things that we have to come against. Just as David did, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, anyone who's lived for God is automatically going to have challenges. The misunderstanding is that, well, you're coming into the church, you're filled with God's Spirit, and then everything will go perfectly in your life. And of course, that isn't the case. In fact, we probably have more problems than those who don't come into the church. It's just that they have no one to go to. We do. Amen. Psalms 92 and verse number 6, it says, "A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all of the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." You understand what our future is like, folks. Everlasting life in a place that we couldn't even understand the description of. God says you don't have the brains yet. You don't have the understanding. "But thou, Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All of the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." To show that the Lord is upright. Amen. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. And then if you turn back to Psalms 55, verse number 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." You would think a man after God's own heart, well, he'd be sheltered from all of that. "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Just like to run away. Ever get to that place where you just like to run away? It's got to be better someplace else. It's not a place. It's a who. Amen. You can have peace in the middle of. He's prepared a table in the presence of our enemy. Amen. Oh God, ask your blessing and anointing, your touch, your unction upon the word of God, Lord, that it could minister to each and every person that's here. We need to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My wife and I generally take one vacation a year. It's generally in February, and this year, 4 weeks ago, we went on that vacation, went to Cabo San Lucas, to a place called Casa del Mar. When we were there a couple years ago, I met some Americans that were there, and they took me to this gated community, and we were hooked up with a man who owns a villa condo. It's on the fourth floor of a beautiful complex overlooking the ocean. It has a veranda that is 1,000 square feet. And this man has owned this place for years, and he said, hey, I've been praying for a pastor to come and want to rent this. And so for $100 a day, we are able to be in this incredible place. It's a gated community, and while everything else is so crowded there, I don't know if we saw 35 people there all of the time that we were there. And we loved it. It was just a time of rest and refreshing, and I'm grateful that the church has allowed us to go. And while on vacation, we have a tendency to fantasize. What if we owned a place like this down here? A getaway from it all. And then, how rude, but a reality showed up. You know? You don't have any money. You don't have the time. And you have grown-up commitments that mean you can't spend that kind of time, even if you had the place. But it's so nice to think, oh, that I had wings of a dove, that I could just fly away. So here we are on this overcast, cold, rainy day. I'm thinking about selling my sunglasses. I mean, what's the purpose, you know? While someone is having a late breakfast this morning on a veranda overlooking palm trees and putting suntan lotion on, but what a future we have. Now, it is natural for us to feel like we need to escape. Amen. David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. How naive of even David, who was God's man. The church jet is down this week for maintenance. And when problems come up, we would all want to catch a plane someplace. But the problem is that our problems catch the same plane that we do. I had a phone in Cabo. That was a problem because I got many calls. Even though I wasn't here, the problem seemed to find me when I was in Cabo. Did you know that you can fly away and still be in the same place? You can go to a place of rest without leaving where you are. In fact, Paul went up to the third heaven. He still didn't understand whether it was, you know, in the body or out of the body. But what he knew was there was this incredible place, and he didn't get on any kind of plane. So would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter? In verse 31, actually it's First Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So the temptations and the situations that we come up against are common to everybody. Everybody goes through it. But what God is saying is, I'm able to make a way of escape for you, a place of rest, a place where you can abide. The key to the escaping our problems is waiting for God to open the door to make a way of escape for us. Now, every one of us at some time has felt like throwing in a towel and saying, you know what, I've had it, that's enough. It's about all I can handle, God. We all have to deal with that some time or another of being fed up, frustrated, and wanting to quit because of some issue or some situation within our life. Now, here is our greatest frustration. I can put up with all of the craziness and stuff that happens outside the church of unregenerated people. But what really frustrates you and me is when people who are regenerated get crazy. That's a challenge for us. When we know some people should be doing what's right and they don't do what's right, and then we're saying, hey, that's it, you know, I've had enough. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 9:2, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people. Now, he didn't say leave those people who didn't know God. So what he's saying is, oh, if I had a motel somewhere, if I had a villa someplace, if I had a little condo away from all of the people that I'm trying to minister to and go from them, for they be all adulterers and assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah got discouraged, and in chapter 20 he said the reason he was frustrated was because when he opened his mouth and talked about God, he got beat up by the people. He tried to tell them what God wanted, and they didn't want to hear. He said, God, your words have become a reproach to me every time I open my mouth. In other words, I suffer because of the stuff that you told me that I was supposed to say, and I thought it would save them, but instead, it just angered them. And most every one of us have experienced that, especially if we're in the ministry where we're trying to help people and they get angry because we're telling them to do something that the flesh really doesn't want to do. Jeremiah said, oh, that I had a wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men. In other words, you know, I feel like leaving the ministry for the motel business. A nice little place away from it all, a motel that I could witness to the tourists that come in and check in for a night. They'd come in and they'd only be here for a little while, and I would give them tracks and not have to deal with them the next day or the rest of their life. I had a young minister call me not too long ago who's just started pastoring at a church some ways away from us, and said, Brother Schumacher, tell me why I'm a pastor again. He said, you know, I've got about 6 good messages. I could go out and preach in various places and then close the book and then walk away and not deal with the people that I've just, let the pastor take care of it. Every once in a while, you know, people want to resign. David wished that he had wings. Jeremiah wished he had a motel. Peter went back to fishing. Why? Well, they were a little frustrated because they expected God was going to do some things for them to protect them from the inevitable and make their life perfect. And when their life didn't turn out exactly the way, their week didn't turn out exactly the way, the promotion didn't happen when they wanted it, then the sickness didn't go. The real issue here is not our frustration with people. The real issue is I need a one-on-one with God. whenever we get to the place where we're so frustrated with people or circumstances in our life, you need to simply say, I need a comfort. God, if we could just talk for a minute. I've got to sit down with you. We got to get some, if I could just get some things off of my chest, not the people, but I want to talk to you, God. People aren't the problem. God, if you'll touch me, I can deal with whatever I have to put up with. If you don't touch me, I'll get frustrated, and then I'll get critical, and I'll not cut anyone the slack that I need to, and I'll forget all of the long-suffering that you've extended to me when I didn't deserve the long-suffering and mercy that you gave me, and when I didn't live up to your expectations, but now they're not, and I'm frustrated. David said in Psalms 92 and 10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. When there is fresh oil dripping off my chin, there is no need to fly away. No need for a motel, no need for a villa in Cabo, because you've got the rest of God's anointing. What can compare to standing in the presence of God and feeling the Shekinah glory of God fall on you? It's like a year of rest someplace else. And the problems can't get to you when the anointing is on you. David said, when I am dealing with frustration, what I really need is to be anointed. I need to be smeared with a fresh oil. Heavy olive oil often turns into grease. And I want that anointing to not only just fall on me, but stay on me. And walk with me. Sister Jenkins told me yesterday morning, she was here during the week, and she was saying to God, I said this yesterday morning to the church that was here. She said, God, just saturate this place with your presence so when visitors come in, they can feel the same thing that I'm feeling. And God said, no. He said, I'm going to saturate you with my presence. So that when you come in contact with the visitor, they're going to follow you like the Pied Piper, you know? Wherever you go, I'm going because I feel something around you. Hallelujah. Psalms 23 and 5 says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So the reason that we have a table or we can receive from God in the presence of our enemy is because there is an anointing that is on us. Now, some years ago, I did a study on sheep, and of course, over and over, the scriptures talk about how we are sheep. You know, we're people who need to gather together in a flock, and we always need a shepherd, and we can't clean ourselves, but the shepherd can. If we fall over, the shepherd has to come and pick us up. It's called a cast sheep. There's something about sheep. Once they fall over on their side, they just can't get up. We need someone to help us up. Amen. So just a quick rendition of how this anointing oil affects the sheep. One of the biggest problems for sheep in the summertime are flies, especially nose flies. These nose flies buzz around the sheep's head and attempt to deposit their eggs in the damp membranes of the sheep's nose, and if laid, the eggs will hatch into worm-like larvae, which work their way up into the nasal passage into the sheep's head. And this sets up an intense irritation, then severe pain within the head of the sheep. And to get some relief from this agonizing annoyance of the buzzing of these flies and the pain within their head, the sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees and rocks and posts, and in extreme cases of infestation, a sheep will kill himself or at least separate himself from the rest of the flock and go off by itself. And because of this, when the nose flies have hovered around the flock, the sheep become frantic and they have fear and they panic because they know what the results can be. They will stomp their feet and race from place to place, going absolutely nowhere, and they stop eating and they have no rest to the point where they get so sick that they die. But the shepherd, at the first sign, of flies, will apply a heavy oil on their nose and their head. And once the oil is applied to their head, there is an immediate change in the behavior of the sheep, even though there's all of this buzzing going around, all these little flies, all this imminent danger, no more irritation and restlessness. Instead, the sheep start feeding again. And they start to lay down and they start to get some rest. And they're looking for the shepherd. When the flies come, I need that shepherd in order to help me. It has to be some oil to prevent this. Church, how often small, petty annoyances fill our head and ruin our peace. Little irritations that cause us to run and never get any kind of rest, never able to feed and get something from the Word of God. But just as with the sheep, we need a heavy application of a refreshing oil from our shepherd. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The enemy is all around me, but God, I need an anointing of your fresh oil. I got to get to the throne of God somehow. When people or criticisms or circumstances beyond our control start to bug us, and who hasn't had that happen? A fresh touch from the shepherd will give us peace and rest like nothing else. God, please apply the oil of your spirit to my mind so I can get relief. And it's amazing how fast the annoyances go away in one service, one altar call, one sermon, and all of a sudden, you know what? That doesn't even bother me anymore. It wasn't true what they said, but it doesn't matter. Who cares? That's so petty. I'm just feeling the Shekinah glory of God. What's the difference of what's going on in my life? There's no sense of running. As summer progresses, or saints start to mature, we are subject to what is called scab, an irritating and highly contagious disease of the sheep, a small parasite that spreads throughout the flock by direct contact between infected sheep and non-infected sheep. Sheep just love to rub heads, and people just love to share ideas. I'm just telling you this so you can pray for what's his face. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You're spreading gossip. You want to infect somebody else with a negative thought because that's what sheep like to do. Sheep love to rub heads together in a friendly manner. Scabs are always around the head, spreading rapidly as the heads get together, and that's why the sacrificial lamb was to be without spot or blemish. If we want to be the sacrifice, if we want to come before the presence of God, then we can't have any of these blemishes in our personality or thoughts. It represents bad thoughts and its processes, criticisms, gossip, backbiting. So again, a heavy application of oil is put on the head of the sheep. In really extreme cases, they are taken to what is called a sheep dip, and the sheep are completely immersed in oil and water, which kills all of the parasites. You know what? Our perspective after coming out of the baptism is completely different. Our minds are changed, and some of the things that we have been having to deal with for years and years now aren't issues anymore, because we know that God has forgotten those things. And if this is not stopped at the first sign of negative talk, the whole flock can be infected. That's why preaching needs to be direct to people and say, hey, listen, no, you can't do these things and still keep the unity of the flock. People love to put their heads together or at least go on Facebook. With all the latest of what is going wrong in the church, listen, God said of the coppersmith, the Lord rewards you according to your works. When you get to the place where you want to demonstrate how wrong somebody was and put it out there on Facebook or social media, something's wrong and you've got a parasite and you don't even know it. Somebody needs fresh oil. Now, as sheep get older, or let's say saints get older, the little pests and parasites aren't a problem anymore. We become so mature, we know the Word of God so much that these little things that bug us, parasites, are gone. But sometimes there are battles between people for positions in the flock. You know, the rams start to say, hey, you know what, I should be in charge of this. And they got the big horns and they start butting heads. Who is the best or who has the best position within the herd? In John 13, Jesus' disciples were arguing about who is going to be the greatest in God's kingdom before they had a foot washing. And then the shepherd applies a generous amount of heavy grease to the head and the nose of the rams. And then when the rams collide, they slip off each other because of the heavy grease that is on their heads. And the tension disperses with no real damage to the individual. You know, humor is one of the greatest defenses that you can possibly use. When people think these things annoy you, it's like the bully on the playground. If the bully sees that he's effective in what he was doing, it'll just continue to do that. I've often said to people who have, you know, kind of irritated me, you know, I think you like me, but you have a hard time expressing yourself. Psalms 23 and 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The word runneth here in the Hebrew means to be completely satisfied with the situation. You know, you're right in the front of an enemy, and God's saying, I'm preparing a table for you. I'm anointing your head, but I want you to be completely satisfied in your situation, even though it doesn't look good. To lessen the force of activity and to end a craving. Elijah was a man who had tremendous highs, but he also had tremendous lows. Now, there's a certain percentage of this congregation that have tremendous highs. Oh, hallelujah. Everything is wonderful on Sunday night and Monday. Pastor, help me. I don't know if I can. And there's personality types that are like that. They always see the negative. Once they're outside of the church, all they can see is the bad things that are happening rather than the good things that have happened. Elijah prays a 63-word prayer that ends a 3.5-year drought, calls fire down from heaven, and kills 450 prophets, and this is one of his high days. But the next day, he gets a note from Jezebel, and I'm going to kill you, and he runs away. Now, 450 false prophets couldn't kill him, but a note from Jezebel, this old hag, causes him to run. Brother Fitch gave me a card to read, and on Sunday afternoons, there are several men and Sister Bogner go to the Spanish ministry at the prison, and there were a whole group of men who wrote little things in a card because of Brother Fitch's sickness. Now, when you get sick, sometimes you feel like you're all alone. Just like Elijah thought, I'm the only one left, God. And God's saying, what about the 7,000 people that I have? What about all of these guys that you have been ministering and their lives have been affected, and now they're showing you how much they actually love you in your dilemma, in your problem? Let me tell you why. Because Elijah made the mistake most of us make. He tied his faith to his expectations and thought that it should have gone his way. But we need to tie our faith to the Word of God and His anointing. And when his faith was tied to the Word of God, he could call down fire from heaven. But because he left the promises of God, fear started to rush into his life. Our faith has to always tie into the Word of God. To feel defeated doesn't mean you are defeated. To feel unappreciated doesn't mean there aren't a lot of people who appreciate you. To feel infected doesn't mean that you really are ineffective. It's just the enemy's way of trying to defeat us. Anyone that has ever stood up for God since the beginning of time has always gone against the current of this world. But we are living in a sissified generation that wants to be accepted by everyone and shunned by none. I have to have everybody love me. Don't you understand? Everybody can't love you as long as you're standing for what God stands for. So what's more important? The acceptance of everybody or the acceptance of God Almighty? We're living in this sissified world that can't stand up for anything, nothing. We follow a man, his name is Jesus, that offended more people than we could ever offend, and it got him separated from disciples and hung on a cross. That was the man at its worst and God at his best. And that's why we need unification in the body and a heavy anointing every time we get here. There has to be something that pulls us together to be one body of believers that can conquer. We are more than conquerors through his presence. But the enemy would want to divide us through little bugs, little situations, little parasites, little challenges. Why him, not me? Why her, not me? Because we can't be alone in this struggle to live for God as our God was left alone at Calvary. We have to beware of times when we feel like we want to just throw in the towel and buy a motel out of town or go back to fishing like Peter did. Proverbs 27 and 8 says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. You wander from the place of safety, a place where people really do love you, a place where people really will pray for you, a place that you can be effective, and you wander away from that because of disappointments, and it could be the last thing you do. We are living in a generation of church quitters. It doesn't work, I'm just going to quit. Oh, it's a new experience, but I can have another experience someplace else. People will never get committed until they are convinced. And once you're convinced that this is the way, the truth, and the life, once you're convinced that there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, well, there's nothing to quit from. You're convinced this is going to take me all the way to heaven. And that's why, for lack of knowledge, people perish. Because they don't have a good understanding of God's word. They have expectations. They ask God for things that God will never provide for them. But if you have a knowledge of what the scriptures say, you will never perish. Now, sometimes God allows everyone in our life to pull back away from us for a season. And there have been times when you and I have felt so absolutely alone. And maybe Brother Fish has been that. He walked up to me with this card and tears in his eyes because he recognized, I'm being effective. There are some people who really appreciate me. But much like the disciples of Jesus, well, there are people who will walk away when there's trouble. You know, love stands alone, but a lie needs a crowd. Well, everybody is saying that. Really? Well, tell me, who is everybody? Amen. See, you're not really convinced yourself that this is wrong, so you need a group of people to, you know, confirm. And the everybodies really aren't anybody. But when you're in love, you'll stand alone. I don't care how many people will come against you. I'm still going to love God. I'm still going to stand with the Word of God. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the Lord who was by my side, I would have surely passed out, failed, backslid, lost my mind, or had a nervous breakdown. But when everybody walks away and then you're still feeling the Shekinah glory of God, oh, I don't need the wings of a dove. I just need fresh oil from my God. But God, who is rich in mercy, when I had gone past my strength, he came to me and strengthened me with fresh oil, a fresh anointing. And that's why so many times we put so much emphasis on worshiping, because that's where the oil is poured out. Paul was used by God to heal many people, but there was a time when he found himself in despair, and he himself was not healed when he made the request. Paul said he had the sentence of death on himself, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And so when these issues come up in your life where, you know, you didn't do anything wrong, but you're faced with this situation, I don't even have to describe it, because each and every one of us have gone to that place. And like Paul said, there's a sentence, but I can now trust in God rather than in myself. And if you didn't have that situation come into your life, you wouldn't understand that you can always rely on God and not on people. From time to time, we'll be put in that situation that God would show himself strong on our behalf. There are some people that always seem to have the answer for any problem in everybody else's life, and that scares me. Well, I can tell you what God is doing in your life. That scares me. They always have an answer for everything. And the fact of the matter is they don't. Because most of us don't have an answer for what's going on in our life. But what God is doing is he's showing himself strong on our behalf, that it isn't going to be people who are going to pull us out of this thing. That's going to be him that is going to deliver us by his arm of strength. That's the way he operates in our life. There will be times when the most godly will be perplexed, but not in despair. Wow, I don't understand this. Been paying my tithes, been coming to church, been doing I love my wife, you know, been friendly with the saints. And now this, I'm perplexed. Why is this happening? But I'm not in despair. I'm not going to wander away like a bird to another place because I trust in God. Would you turn to our last scripture if our musicians would come? 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Starting in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we're frail, we have insecurities, we have problems in our life. Why? That the power of God might be on us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. People see what we're going through and we still trust God and God delivers us and we still have peace in the middle of the storm. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Did you get your renewing? Because as our bodies perish, the wrinkles come, the back hurts, you get tired more easily. That's in the flesh, but in the spirit, the same thing happens. We're weighed down with situations in our life. So there has to be a renewing every day. David said, I've got to have fresh oil. I recognize the enemy is around me and there's problems I can't resolve. God forgive us for running out of oil. Running out of patience, running out of faith. But that's the way he has created us. We're frail, helpless sheep. And unless the shepherd comes and smears the grease, eliminates the parasites and the flies and the arrogance of other people, we'll butt heads and leave the flock and run into a tree and kill ourselves spiritually. And that's why David said in Psalms, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Church, there's fresh oil in this place. I feel like such a powerful presence of God in this place this morning. And those of you that are at your wit's end or feel like, oh God, when are you going to help me? When are you going to deliver me? When are your promises going to show up at my door? I'm telling you, there's fresh oil in this place right now, and God is willing to do that. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. There's a place. We used to say there's a spot where the glory pours out. It's here. The altar's open. Would you come?